Okay.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is a focused bargaining session between the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of Central Florida and the bargaining team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. Today is Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. And it's great to see everybody this afternoon, and hopefully we get a few things accomplished today. Charlie, can you display the minutes from our last bargaining meeting?
A lot. It looks good to me. This is Giovanna.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, with no objections, I will stop sharing that document.
And then
okay, so I assume the minutes are good.
the minutes are good, and the one thing that Chuck, that since we are focusing on 10, we didn't do, but if Charlie, if you can send us a ready version of art of 16, then we'll sign that.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, the BOT's last proposal is acceptable and you want to go ahead and do that. Okay,
Right.
I will take care of Article 16 after.
So my color coding, I'm itching to put more green,
Okay, so that was BOT number six, I
That
think.
would be
So
16 will be done.
I will make that ready for signature.
Talat, that is that's great news. Thank you for letting
That's
us
really nice.
know
Yeah,
about
thank you.
that. What it
Yeah.
means is we're down to single digits now.
We are down to single digits, yeah, and I think in and as I say, 19 and 20 are together, and there is this one element, of course, we need to talk about in 9. So those are the three. If we group them, those are the three, and then 8. Have you given us 8 already?
No, I'm working on that. I hope to have that on Wednesday for us. That's the last one to be presented, except for Article 30, which is always what we do at the end when we figure out what we want to reopen. And one thing I'll just mention again, I know we've talked about it a couple of times. A strategy that we may want to employ is as we look at some of these articles, there may be some that we decide that we want a TA so that we can get the one-time payments and the salary increases to the employees as quickly as possible. But then in Article 30, we list those as articles that we would reopen again, say in the spring,
Sure.
and try again. So I know that your side feels the same way that ours does, and that's we want to get the money in the hands of
Yeah. There is something that I just thought, I know we don't have a big audience right now, but maybe people will be coming and also this will be there. But there is a lot of misunderstanding about in unit, out of unit, who's getting money, who's not getting money. So, first of all, I just want to say it again that, that we have bargaining unit members, the in unit and out of unit. In unit doesn't mean that you are a union member. In unit just means that you are part of the bargaining unit. And if we had everyone as union members, then we wouldn't be talking about
You mean
60% reaching
dues
three.
paying members is
Yeah.
what you mean.
So but the salary raises do not affect you whether you're dues paying member or not. So
Right.
nobody who's classified in unit has gotten the raise, and others have, but it has been my understanding all along that our raises are pretty much similar. And then if you don't get the starting point of the raise is going to be slightly different, but then the one-time payment would also be different because those two are supposedly going to take account of it. And also, just so that everyone is clear, in the one-time payment, everyone gets the same amount. So in some ways, those who are at the higher end of the salaries may have get a little less, but those who are on the lower end of the salary scale would get a little bit more. And that's just, you know, talking about few dollars here and there. It's not a major amount. So we hope that we get into an agreement as soon so that these discrepancies will also be removed. But you know, just to be clear that it's not like people are being robbed of their raises just because they have been classified either in unit or out of unit. I just wanted to, you know, make that clear. Okay, so I think, you know, would it be okay then if I share my screen and we go over Article 10?
Oh, do you think it would be okay if I shared my screen? Because I want to explain something.
Okay.
And if we need to, we can switch back and forth. Okay. So if you don't mind, I'll start out with mine.
If you start with yours.
Okay.
No, that is going to be very confusing.
Okay, but let me start here. So both of these documents are available.
Okay, good.
And they're both available in the collective bargaining session. I did put the link in the chat.
Okay.
And I don't know if you all can you see chat messages that are before you arrived?
No.
Okay. So let me see. I'll just paste it and I'll send it again. So for you guys playing the home game, you're able to go to the collective bargaining link and go to Article 10. And you should be able to see both of these documents. And what both of these documents are, one of them is the collective bargaining agreement, like literally photocopied. And I numbered each section to match the BOT's proposal of where things were moved around, moved down, what is new, and what has changed to the best of my human ability. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I really worked hard to get everything because I don't want anyone to feel like we're trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. I want to be very clear about what's new and what is just simply moved. And so what I thought we might do is that I have an Article 10 here that is the same as what is marked up by hand over here. What I thought I could do is if Utilok can tell me what is non-contested, I'll just go through it. Let's just say that you say this is all okay.
Okay, and what I do, okay, so there are two ways of doing it. I was going to do exactly the same. And in fact, I have in my, you will be happy to see mine.
Okay.
Because I have taken exactly yours and I have just highlighted what's new.
Okay, so I was actually literally going to go through and accept while you watch so you know what's happening in the document. Again,
okay,
I'm trying to build trust.
Go ahead,
I don't want to scare anybody.
Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that, and then we will compare our...
That is fine, yes.
Okay, that's perfect. Well, let's do that as you are saying. And is that okay, folks, in my team?
Hopefully, okay. You had a chance to...
So then, may I ask one question?
Yeah.
Can you tell us the first line number where there's something you would want like to see different?
Right. So here's I was going to suggest two things. One is that just so that everybody knows that there are two documents, why don't, you know, if Charlie stops sharing right now, I will share mine and I will go up to Sir and I'll just show and then we'll go to Charlie's and she can be accepting things. Okay. That will make it easy. Because then, okay, this says you have to enable, by the way, sharing. It says disabled.
Hold on, Talat. I didn't make you. Oh, sorry. Now it should be okay now.
Okay. All right.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. So let me know if you're seeing my screen.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay. So basically, Charlie, if you look at this, okay, this page is all yours. You just needed to have a word and in there. Okay. And for some reason it doesn't take highlight. Okay. So that's just a minor thing. And then off in there and you will see that. Okay. I'll send this to you.
It's just make it a little bigger.
The and actually doesn't make any sense.
Oh, did it? Okay, maybe expertise.
Hold on.
Okay. So basically, right. So This okay, right. So basically, we crossed out performance. Okay.
I see.
And this is all, we restored the old language because we brought in the word and expertise. You had dropped off expertise. Either it could have happened by.
So can I ask why you don't want it to be the annual performance evaluation, since that's what it's called?
No. So it is annual evaluations, right? So, oh, because we didn't want the word performance to be twice. Okay, we can do this. Annual performance evaluation shall be based upon, and then we can take this thing out. We can keep yours. That's fine. We'll take. You see, in your version, you had performance twice.
I see. And maybe there's another word that can be used, but there's no objection to.
No, there's no objection.
Performance evaluation.
It's just making this thing. Yeah.
I see.
Go ahead.
So I guess, like, for now, we could kind of go with that, but I agree that we could find a synonym, perhaps, in the future.
That's right. So, Robert, did you want to say something?
I have something unrelated. Charlie, this is a request. When you all change the link on the events calendar, can you give me a heads up? Because everyone has a link that doesn't work, and I right now don't have a way to get into the mass email to correct it.
So I don't understand. Christina used the link that's in the events calendar right now.
I understand, but an original events calendar link, that might have been the one I was using. So that one got outdated.
But I just created it.
I know, but there might have been one previous.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but I just created the meeting a week ago. So I guess.
So since you created it, it never went out? I'm sorry. I mean, the problem is on my end because I can't get into the mass email right now. So I can't correct it. But I don't know, like, what happens on your end if this thing has to change, something gets taken down from the events calendar, then replaced, which looks like it's what happened.
I don't think I, when once I posted the Zoom, I posted the Zoom. So I don't think, and Christina was able to navigate it from there. So I don't know. Are people going to the wrong day?
No, they go to a link that says this link is down, and it's supposed to be the events calendar for the original date, the original posting. But that original posting got moved to a different one.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it got moved. And so I was using the original one that I had. And now people have a link that doesn't work.
So okay, the question is, can you send it?
I don't know what to tell you because I, I set up the meeting. I didn't change anything. I don't know what to tell you, Robert.
Charlie, all we need is for Robert to be able to.
Yeah, but I can't. So it's a lot. I can't because there's something wrong on my end. I can't get into the mass email right now. So even if I have the correct link, which I do, I can't send it out because I don't have access to the mass email. I mean, unless you all on your end can send a mass email out to the bargaining unit and just say, sorry for the link being down. Here's the link to the session and the link whoever gets it.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to, I guess, discuss this after the session about how to do it better. But I didn't change anything, Robert. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, let's discuss at the end of the session.
Sure.
So
no problem.
Let me just ask one thing. If people are trying to get in right now, how do they do it?
Well, I assume they go to the events calendar and click on the virtual link. And the only reason I know that is because Christina was here early and we used the link to get here. So, and Dan said he used the link that was old, right, Dan?
No. Yeah, the original one.
So I don't know what the problem
would be. The one from Robert's email did not work. I tried that. Then I went to your email. That's why I was late getting on. Then I got in from Charlie's email. So the question is, Robert, are there people wanting to get on? And if they are, can you send them a link?
I can't because I don't have access to the mass email. There seems to be a technical problem on my end.
Oh.
So I can't correct it.
Okay.
Is the issue right now. That's not Charlie's problem. That's our problem. But I don't have a way to correct the mass email.
All right. So, Talat,
yeah. So basically,
if you want to stop sharing for a second, we'll flip back to mine. And you keep looking at yours. If you'd sent me yours, I could probably have done a lot. So are you having a problem with the word policy? Because that is still not changed.
No.
That's fine, right? And we're all fine. Okay until we get...
The only word that we want to add is with professional assigned duties, we want to add and expertise.
Like okay, so I'm gonna accept all of this right there.
And add and expertise, because that's the only thing missing.
Okay, I don't know. I don't remember why we struck that. So I'm gonna leave it just for now.
Okay, is just old language, because so that's all. And then
do you have a problem with the expertise word? I just wanted to know why.
We want it to be included.
Okay. All right. I'll find out what our problem was with the word. I don't remember right now. So,
and then that's okay. Then we'll give you ours and then it's fine.
Yeah. So shall consider all of this is okay here?
That's right. And then when you do that, then you'll see that you'll read the sentence and you'll realize something has to be done.
Yes, right. So
that's why the and comes in.
Can I go this far and accept?
Charlie, you're not displaying it.
Oh, my bad. Thank you. Okay. So I accepted from here to here.
Uh-huh.
And now I was looking to accept from here to here.
That's fine.
Okay. So accept.
So and keep the word, so what we would do, we have added expertise.
Right. So let me highlight that as something I'm going to investigate on our side,
Can I make a quick comment about that? A person's expertise is significant, and it can be something that is added to over a period of time and may not be impacted so much in that single year. The question is, we're doing a performance evaluation over a year. What happened then? So somebody that receives a lot of recognition in years past has a lot of expertise and a lot of expertise that is recognized. That doesn't necessarily change their performance.
Well, but your level of expertise is also changing.
It should be, yes.
Now what happened? Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But so we can restore expertise. We're not going to keep money out of people's hands.
It's not going to change very much. We can also read it again and see. So that's fine.
I'll accept expertise and then
we can put
it in.
It is. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so reject the change. Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
And then you have to take the period out. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. And then it's not a big deal, you know, but okay. So,
All right. So then if I can accept, there was no problem through here, correct?
No problem.
All right. Accept. All right. So annual evaluation period, was there anything in this one?
No problem.
Accept. All right. Employee annual report. You don't have a problem changing it to May 7th, right?
No problem until line 34, which is going to change now.
So this is all okay here then.
One thing, all the way up to towards the end of the annual evaluation. It's fine.
Uh-huh. This one's fine. Okay, got it. Accept it. All right, so now let me roll up. You said line 34, so I'm afraid that the numbers might...
No, you're okay. Just go to evaluation rating as you were going.
Okay, so I'm so sorry. I don't know, something happened where I've lost my...
No, you lost everything.
Oh, I know why. It's gone too far forward or something. Hang on a second. I'll tell you what, let me undo, because that somehow it went further than I think we intended. So, all right. Accept this change. All right, now, did that do it? Where you're, do you have anything else now? Is there something else?
No, I think you've gone through it very quickly.
Why is this? I don't think
it's working out.
Yeah, that definitely is not, but I will make a mark that this is accepted. Okay.
Let me, if you let me share, you will see that actually it is a lot easier, and then you can accept all the changes and we'll be fine.
Okay, stop sharing.
Stop sharing, yeah.
Yep, got it. Go ahead.
Okay, and then I can have a, we can have a discussion, and after that you can modify the thing and we'll be ready. Okay, so basically let me go to the, okay, so I will share, and because problem is that our you know, Microsoft doesn't help, it's not very cooperative when you're doing it.
All right, you can go ahead and share screens, Talat.
I did.
Okay, oh, you haven't yet.
Oh, I did that and I said share, and now it's not allowing me to share. Why is that? Okay. Gosh, now what's happening? Now I'm, it's frozen. So, not, it's okay. Okay, just a second. Okay, share.
Well, I'm glad it's not just me who's having technical difficulties.
No, there's a real, okay, how about now?
No, I'm not seeing anything.
Okay. All right, I have stopped sharing. I will even do this, and then let me open it again. Okay, I got it there. Let me do share. And okay, I did that. And I hope you should be able to see it now.
Yeah, we can see it now.
Okay, so I'll make it a little bit bigger. I think it's big enough, right? So basically what you saw was that this is all yours. So there's, we already talked about that one word. Otherwise, it's all yours. We are in total agreement.
Okay.
We're in total agreement there. And I think the only thing here is that you had two effectiveness and only one should be there.
Okay.
Okay.
So line 88. Okay.
Yeah. So 89. Yeah. So that's not a change. And then it goes on, and I'm doing it a little slowly. So it's no problem. It's all, so we are already on page 4, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we go on and go on, and we are on page 5. There's no problem, okay? If there's a problem, it's highlighted. Or if there's something new, we've highlighted it. So page 6, there's no problem.
Was there something on page 5?
So can you go back to page 5, please? I think there's something that says that there's a strike through. There's a comment.
Strike through, yeah. The date of notice shall be included.
Okay. Right. Noted in the report, I think. What is
it? It doesn't look like it's different. Oh, it doesn't say the evaluator's representative like it does in my copy. So the employee shall be offered the opportunity to discuss the summary with the evaluator or, no, yeah, see how evaluator's representative is struck?
Right. So evaluator's representative.
Okay, so what is the thought there?
But that was, Robert, did we do that?
I can show you mine doesn't have that.
So the date of notice, the employee shall be offered the opportunity to discuss the summary with the evaluator or the evaluator's representative. So that is what we crossed out.
Right, but why?
So just a second. Yeah, I'm reading yours. The employee shall be with the So I guess the question was, who would be the representative?
Well, if my supervisor was gone for the day and someone else was acting chair, that would be the representative, I think.
Would that be a faculty member? See, that's the problem that we're running into. I don't think it's.
I remember now, Talat.
Yeah,
I think the issue we have is that the discussion should be with the supervisor, not the evaluator's representative.
Yeah, because you see, you're not going to discuss it with somebody who didn't evaluate you. You're going to wait till the person comes back.
Because earlier in the article, the evaluators specifically mentioned has someone that's out of unit. It's an administrator, right?
Yeah.
And so what we're doing here is we're saying the discussion has to be between the employee and the administrator, not an in-unit person and another in-unit person. That's what we're trying to get at with
this. This is your area, if you'll unmute. This is your area of expertise.
Well, the point is that let's say that in my case, my chair evaluated me and he's going to be gone for a week and I'm told to go and discuss with the associate chair, but the associate chair has no idea because the process was not shared with the associate chair as to why I got that evaluation.
Well, I think it's more important than that. We can't grieve someone in unit.
Oh, no, it would be a non-unit person.
But it doesn't say that in the language. It says designee or representative.
Got you. So we can agree to striking it, Chuck, or we can make it more clear that it's a non-unit
evaluation. Let's get the money in the employee's hands. Let's strike it.
Okay, no problem. We'll agree to leave that stricken. Okay, I'm going to strike it now from my copy.
Okay, I will go slowly so you can see. I don't think anything.
No, I think there was more that had been stricken on page 5. Like lines 168 and 169, particularly 169.
This one here?
Yes.
This is...
The date of change shall be included.
It says updated language for clarity.
The With date the evaluator of change. Prior to, can you roll down just a smidgen, please?
Roll
I think it's the same, prior to its being finalized.
I think this is from, this is Charlie's language.
Yeah. Okay. Chuck, okay. Everything looks the same to me except for that. And I struck
it. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. And anyway, our names sort of show up here if we did anything. Okay. So this is all yours. This is all the same. This is also, and again, I think the comments will be pointed here. So this is all the same. This is all the same on 7. Now here.
Up to
post-tenure review, I think we are pretty much, except for those two changes, we're pretty much fine. Okay?
Yep, I'm with you. I'm there at 10.6 on mine.
Great. Okay, so then 10.6, basically what we did here, so it says Board of Governors of the State of Florida enacted a post-tenure review requirement effective March 29 to 2023. Should any of these regulations or statutes be found to be invalid or unenforceable by the final decision of a tribunal of competent jurisdiction, or are rendered invalid by reason of subsequently enacted legislation or regulation, the university agrees to return to the sustained performance evaluation procedures described in the 2021-2024 collective bargaining agreement. Okay. So this is something for you guys to consider. And then for between...
And Talat, yeah. if I may, we will take a look at that for sure. I think Article 29.1 uses almost the same language you've suggested here. If something does become invalid, something in the contract becomes invalid because of legislation or judicial action, the new language relative to post-tenure review would be considered invalid based on 29.1. Maybe I should let Craig speak to that rather than me trying to do a legal point, but I convinced myself of that looking at 29.1. I think later on we have some suggestions about the sustained performance evaluation that is different from what it was in the last collective bargaining agreement. So I'm hesitant to say we would just bounce back to that 21-24 language.
Well, let's go through this.
Let's go through the whole thing. But
so then
we understand your point.
Right. So then under timing, We have said, you know, the process for random selection and any algorithm used will be disclosed to the UFF before faculty are selected to be reviewed. Then number two, if faculty members' post-tenure review may be postponed upon approval by the provost or designee for extenuating circumstances, including but not limited to being on approved extended leave, this is FMLA, parental leave or leave of absence, being on a sabbatical, or having served in an administrative role or as chair or equivalent during the review period. To request a year-long postponement, faculty members must submit a postponement request form, which we'll have to develop, by the specified deadline. All requests shall be reviewed by the provost or designee. The same standards for granting postponement requests shall apply to all faculty members. Because in what you had, there was no provision for that. And so we thought that should be included. And so, again, you can take a look at that and see where it fits.
I have a question about the sabbatical being there. So are you saying any during the 5 year period, anytime being on sabbatical, would that disrupt?
No, if that year you're on sabbatical. No, if you're on sabbatical, that counts.
I think what Talat is saying, if you are due to submit your PTR materials while you're on sabbatical, you would propose that it be extended for a year. Isn't that somebody took a sabbatical over the last 5 years. It's they're on sabbatical at the time the materials are due. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. It's okay. If it falls in a period when you're away, and again, it is at the discretion of the provost to deny or accept the request.
I can see a medical leave is easy for me to understand. Sabbatical is less easy, but
we can cross out sort of sabbatical.
Okay. I'm curious about the algorithm thing. I thought that was pretty clear, was it not? About how they selected
How did they select? We have no idea.
Alphabetical.
That's not quite true. There were cases where people.
Well, here's the thing, Talat. The way it was done, under the Board of Governors regulation, anybody who's exactly 5 years from promotion or their last comprehensive evaluation is up again. There are some faculty who have been, say, a full professor for more than 5 years, and for those people, or they've been an associate professor for more than 5 years with tenure, they get put in a pool. And we took 20% of those people who weren't going to come up naturally at the 5 year point over the first 5 years because they'd already been past 5 years in rank without a comprehensive evaluation, and 20% of those were chosen in the first year, and it's 20% this year, and so on. That list is alphabetical.
So it's not a problem, Chuck. We are not contesting how you're choosing. It's just that so many people have come to us to ask how it is being done, and at that point when it was being done, we didn't have that information. Okay. And so it would be just good for us to know. Like you're saying just now, you know, it would be good to us to know. And again, it's not that every per one would be there. There may be deviations. So we are not contesting any of that.
Sure. Okay.
I'm not suggesting that you were. I just thought it might be educational for everyone to know that this is how it's done until that 20% cycle is over. And then it's every 5 years, right, Chuck?
Right.
Yeah. So, exactly. So I think that again, it would be, you know, it would be really good to have that in writing. We have it. We just say that this is what was given to us. So this is why you're being evaluated, you know. So yeah. I mean, there were so people were guessing because so Tetard, for example, T is you know is not so there may have been some other reason, but anyway, it doesn't matter. All we are saying is that it would be good for us to have an idea, and we could just mention it to people because they think that we know, but we didn't know. All right. Okay. So, and I'm fine with the taking sabbatical out.
If okay. That, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's not a problem. We can do that.
I think you could do the same thing with an administrative role. That's also covered.
Yeah.
That's covered. Okay. 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 So we could leave these things. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. So you, what you're saying is that
it was, Chuck, was Jana going by the 160 days in an administrative position
an administrative position.
Why don't we do this? Because you're going to come back to us and then we can look at it and go through.
We'll take a look at that.
More. Yeah, that would be better.
Okay, so next.
Okay, then participation. This is not a problem here. It's all yours.
History.
I can just read it. This is all tenured, as you're saying here. Okay, another exception includes faculty approved for more than 160 hours of authorized leave during one semester. I think you have some things here already, okay?
Yes.
Okay, and then review requirement. Review requirement would be utilizing the criteria relevant to the faculty member. The PTR is expected to rate the number one level of accomplishment and productivity. That's all the language that you had given. This is with
duty. Oh, I see the addition in green. If the dean is unsure.
Right, and other assigned responsibilities, including clinical and administrative assignments. So one thing here before I read this part is that what we would like in principle is that the policy by which PTR is conducted is part of the CBA. However, that right now may not be feasible, right? Because you do have a policy. And that's the one that we can talk about, but that would probably need more time than what we have right now to be negotiating. So what we would like to do is that we would have this article as one of the reopeners. Okay, because you know, there is a policy, however, though, because this is such a new thing, it would be excellent if you could put it as part of the CBA. And that, if you think we can do it right now within the next week or so that's available to us, that's fine. If not, then we would just add a few things here. So for example, what we added, if the dean is unsure of the efficacy of research contributions, the dean will assemble a committee of tenured faculty members from the candidate's home department to summarize the research contributions of the candidate with respect to others at the same career stage in the field. Because one of the problems that we have, the way everything is formulated, is that experts from the person's field are not able to evaluate because the dean may not be working in the same area or have knowledge of the area that the candidate has. The same goes for the provost. The other is that then you had the history of professional conduct, positive or negative, inclusive of the review requirements in
the
regulation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, we just add to this, we've added, no part of an employee's successful grievance shall be in consideration in post-tenure review. Okay, and again, you can take a look and see
how. I think I understand what you mean by that. I mean, I may want to change the language, but I think I know what you mean. In other words, if there was discipline and the grievance made it go away, then it wouldn't be considered. And I agree with that, certainly.
Right. And then performance rating categories, and
that's,
that you had mentioned
the same
here. So what we have done here is expanded on that, and it says here, criteria for determining performance rating. One, in conducting post-tenure review, the university shall not consider or otherwise discriminate based on a faculty member's political or ideological view or properly disclosed and approved outside activities or field of study. The post-tenure review shall abide by Article 5, academic freedom, and Article 6, so these should go away. Okay. Strike through. Okay. And Article 6, non-discrimination of the CBA.
Isn't everything we do has to abide by Article 5 and Article 6?
Well, we want to make sure that this is spelled out here. Because of the history that we are going through right now. And and then criteria for post-tenure review ratings, because of the variety of academic disciplines in the university and the differences in the nature of the work tenured faculty do across disciplines, the relative evidence in support of PTR ratings will vary across academic disciplines. The criteria shall consider research, teaching, and service. Deans and provosts must take into account consideration the criteria used by academic units to evaluate performance of faculty for annual evaluations. So this is something that, you know, without that, there is no basis, we, you know, in our view, of how evaluations will be done, because they're not being done by experts in the field. Okay, then this is fine. I think we have, and then what we have added here, outcomes. Employees will receive a communication and written rationale, because communication could just be you did it or you didn't do it, and written rationale regarding their final performance rating. Exceeds expectation, meets expectation, does not meet expectation. In the last case, the employee must be issued a performance improvement plan. Unsatisfactory employee will receive notice of intent that the university will proceed with termination pursuant to terms.
That's not a change. That's the same.
Yeah, that's all the same. And we basically have struck out sustained performance evaluation, because if you're going to do post-tenure review, then this doesn't fit over here. So can I ask
if you have someone who is not due to take their post-tenure review for another couple of years, and they're not maintaining productivity expectations, perhaps because, I don't know, dementia or something, would you not want them to be able to have access to a PIP? Because that's what that does. It takes away their ability to have a PIP if they're out of cycle and they're not meeting productivity expectations.
But doesn't the annual evaluation do that though, Charlie?
Nope, it doesn't without this language.
But conceivably without the quote unquote PIP, wouldn't an annual evaluation get at the same thing?
Evaluation doesn't give you access to PIP.
I think what
they're saying, I understand. I don't mean the PIP. I'm saying even without a PIP, don't you get that same information through the annual evaluation process?
Well, what do you do with it, though? Unsatisfactories in a row. Yeah. I don't have a way to do a PIP. We go right to termination.
Yeah. So I think we have to make this language a little bit more clear. So basically what we are saying here is that right now, if you have annual evaluations, let's say you got post-tenure review done. Imagine this scenario, post-tenure review, it all went fine. And then you somehow slid. And
2 years for two terms. I mean, you know, like terms. It's been a while, mm-hmm. but then something happens, and things happen all the time. So then they get two unsatisfactory performance evaluations, and then they get fired for incompetence rather than getting the benefit of a PIP.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to protect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see where you're coming from. I think basically,
you're taking away a right for people to have a PIP if there's something that goes wrong after their performance evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just consider that.
Yeah, when we're talking about performance improvement plans, the PIPs, that's really the administration, the chair, the dean, whomever's writing the PIP, saying, I want to give this person a chance. I want to make sure that this person knows what the expectations are and has an opportunity to improve so that they will be successful when post-tenure review comes up. We sort of look at the PIPs as an opportunity to nudge somebody who may be a little bit off track and give them some guidance on how to improve.
The other thing is I was reluctant to delete SPEs because if we needed somewhere to go back to, it's there. You know what I mean? We have a place to go back to. Okay.
Right.
We can talk about it offline, but I want you to understand why it was still
there. So the on our end, it was the other way in the sense that, but I see where you're coming from. Okay. On our end, it was that if you're, let's say somebody does 2 years in a row and then what happens? And then if PTR is not due, under SPE, what would happen? They would be given a performance evaluation plan, right?
It says right there, it guarantees them the ability to have a PIP. Without this, we just have to terminate them for incompetence. Do you see what I mean? Like, this is a protection for tenure. It's deliberate protection.
But in the present way, what happens, supposing we didn't have PTR, what happens? You have two years, you don't do well, then you have a PIP, and then what? But well, PIP is multi-year, and this PIP is only 12 months. So that's the difference.
Yeah, under PTR, the PIP is 1 year. Yes.
Right. So if we wanted to put that PIP to be the same as it was before, then I have no problem with it. Otherwise, we have a problem. Otherwise, we're asking them to be terminated before they would be. Yeah, Robert.
I'll say the other thing is this system you're proposing leaves open the opportunity for just extra punitive measures to faculty. We're assuming, you know, that everyone through this process are good actors. And, you know, this seems like a overlap of an evaluation system when you've already got one crack at the apple and the sustained performance evaluation has given you a second one.
I mean, I think we could agree to it, but we'll move on. It's fine. Okay. Just please continue.
Yeah. Okay. All right, then PIP creation, and here we've just said, because this PIP is new, we've put it in accordance with the BOG regulation, so they know that this is what is dictating it. And that's the same, the only thing we've added here, you had performance goals with target dates, and you know we just wanted to say achievable target dates for the faculty member to fulfill the required. So this is basically just nothing but making it realistic, which again, if you have good administrators, they would do that anyway, but we wanted to make sure. So there's nothing much there. We did add a sentence here that at the end of the 12 months, the faculty member will provide a written assessment of their meeting of the goals and outcomes for the PIP. Because, you know, they will provide that this is what we've done, so they have some documentation of what they have done. And then if they are still terminated, that is the basis of what they are working on. So that's the only thing there. And then we go to the rest of it. And actually,
it's pretty much the same.
It's the same.
Oh, there we go. Same. Wait, 428-ish.
Oh, no, this is from you.
No, that's us.
Oh, no, me. We did add. Yeah, we do have, because the names are here. We were working on this here.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, yeah, go ahead. You want to talk?
Yeah, can I speak to this a lot since I brought the issue to you, right? We have a problem currently with Provost Johnson and this specific passage in the contract, because I don't know how many departments, but I know our department, the department I'm in, and other departments in College of Arts and Humanities, Provost Johnson impaneled the AESP committees 2 days before the end of the spring semester. And then we went through the summer, and that summer, 8 months away from the timeline here. And so it's actually less than a year that that we're impacted by revising our AESPs. And so I think we need to modify the time length language. So, you know, maybe Provost Johnson did this inadvertently because he doesn't have a good calendar in his office. I'm not concluding anything like that. But I think, like, we can't have someone coming in at the very tail end of the spring semester and say, here, I'm impaneling the AESP committee, go to it, and then no one's around in the summer. The committee's not around in the summer, and they can't start until the fall semester, and then 3 months or whatever it is essentially taken off the clock on revising the AESPs.
Okay.
So if you got a solution to that problem, love to hear it, but this was where we're coming from on this specific revision.
All right, now you can scroll down now that I see that. Go ahead.
So that is that. Now, I think, yeah, well, you were looking at the side, yeah. I think that's it. I think the rest of it.
I think that's all the same, and the rest is sort of strikeouts because it was all moved to other sections, right?
Exactly.
Talat, I think there was a lot of progress made with this. I appreciate the thoughtfulness.
But what I would like to ask is that, Chuck, you have the PTR policy, right? I mean,
everyone does.
Right. I mean, is that something that we could work into the CBA?
That's something that we're very, very hesitant to do because if the language changes in the CBA or the policy, that can create problems. There are difficulties with doing that kind of thing. So we've been very hesitant to do that. There are places where we point to policies.
I'm sorry, Chuck, when you say difficulties, do you mean more democracy for the workers? Is that what you mean by difficulty?
I think for the most part, that PTR that's in the book follows the regulation pretty closely.
It does.
That was the goal, really, was to get the elements in a logical, reasonable, but succinct fashion. I think we need to look at what you've done, Talat. When you send that to me, I will go through it line by line, and then we can definitely talk about any outstanding areas. But we made a huge amount of progress today.
Yeah, I think what Talat is referencing that in some of the PTR articles that have been TA'd around the state, that the actual policy has been incorporated in the article. So perhaps we should look at that, you know, and how other universities have done that.
So for example, you know, one of the things that if you want clarity, if you want, you know, transparency in the process, then, you know, your evaluation should be based on your performance, right? And performance is research, teaching, service. And of course, you know, if you have a record of something that you did that is, you know, that goes against the laws of the state, that's not a problem. But the main thing is that you should be evaluated on the basis of your performance. And that performance can be judged by your peers and not by the dean and the provost. And in fact, it's not even the dean, because the dean can give the recommendation and the provost can modify or deny and form an opinion of his or her own. So that, to me, is, you know, I know that the legislature right now is giving that power, but, you know, universities are also trying to put some language in there. And so there is faculty input, there's input from peers, and that is what we can come up with one. We wanted to, but then we were also worried about the length of time it would take for it to go through. If you think that it can be done, so for example, you could put your policy here, we can see how we can tweak it, and maybe that would be fine, that would work. The only other option would be that basically we reopen it when we, you know, this is one of the articles that we reopen. So that's where we are, because what is very important for all of us is to reach an agreement so that people can get some money in their paycheck, right? Some extra money, yeah.
So I guess it looks like we have a little bit of time where we can talk about Article 23.
Right, so about Article 23, there was a couple of things that I wanted clarification. So first of all, We were promised that we would get the budget in August, but we have not got the budget because we do have somebody who could do an analysis of the budget, but we don't have any information on the budget. So is it possible for us to get the budget now?
I will ask about that.
Okay. So you will ask about that. So that's one. The other is that, you know, what we are, and this is, again, and I'll speak a little bit to the awards, you know, to the incentive awards. And, you know, to me, it is surprising to see the administration come with that because, you know, again, I'm just looking at it, you know, I'm doing this analysis with what I've seen around in the last how many decades I've been in academia, that incentive awards are given to high performing faculty, right? And so it is not given to every person. So in some ways, you would think that it is the administration which wants to be promoting more meritorious faculty, that they would be for it. But what we're seeing here in our administration is against that. So I'm totally miffed. I would have expected the union to come and say, no, we don't want incentive awards because we want across the board salary increases. But what you're saying is that we don't want incentive awards because we don't want our faculty to be trying and to excel. I mean, I have to tell you that when I came to UCF as chair of physics, and you know, again, I don't want to go into how things were then and so on, but there were lots of things that were not the way I would have liked it. And one of the things that I thought that was really good, that was really keeping the morale and keeping me people being competitive and so on, were the incentive awards. This is what set it apart. So for the provost to be going after the incentive awards, I'm just totally surprised. And so that's one thing. The other is that what we're doing right now, if we do what your budget, your proposal to Article 23 is, that we are really causing compression. So I would like you to ask the provost. In fact, I would really like it if the provost would come to the next meeting. We would ask him directly, does he really want to see compression? I mean, is he in favor of compression in salaries? And how does compression help him keep successful faculty who've been here a long time? How does it help him keep them here? And that is what the proposal that you've got, the, you know, Article 23 is doing. So I do want some answer to that. And the last thing is that, you know, we realize where, you know, the university is heading, but we also realize that funds have been made available to the university. So somewhere we need to get an understanding of why there is no money here when there is money in every other place. I mean, this is the only campus right now. USF is also, to be honest, USF is also going through negotiations, but they are more optimistic there right now. But so we would like to know, again, we would like to know about the budget so we can take a look at where things have gone. And we would like to know really where did the money go? I mean, it really makes no sense. I think you were going to tell us about what was done with the money that we got last year, which the provost said was used to hire advisors. And so we would like to see, I mean, we could just get a picture of this was the budget, this is where funds went last year, and this is where they're going this year. And that way we get an idea of whether, you know, that yes, there is no money. And then the question is, will there be money next year? You know, or will it always be that the bargaining unit members, basically the people who make the place run, that there's never going to be money for them. There'll be money for other things. So these are some questions that we'd like answers to.
Yeah, and Talat, thank you for sharing those questions with us. I had asked some of those questions last week after our meeting and had indicated I'd like to get answers before we meet next week, because I wasn't anticipating that Article 23 is going to come up this week. But I did not specifically ask about the budget.
The budget and compression, whether the provost does want to see compression in salary. But please do
I can meet with the provost and ask about...
And about the incentive awards, whether he really thinks...
But here's the thing, Todd. I hear you with the incentive awards.
Yeah.
I get it. And what's been proposed is we've got a certain amount of money that we've used for incentive awards. And it's been proposed that we just change how that money's used to create greater raises at the time of promotion and to reward people for success with post-tenure review. Instead of some of the incentive awards, and the people that would be subject to post-tenure review would, under what's been proposed, and I'm not arguing for, I'm just describing it right now, but under what has been proposed, they would be ineligible for the incentive awards because they're going to get either some kind of a cash bonus, cash payment, one-time payment, if they succeed with the post-tenure review, and then get a larger raise at the time of promotion, which gets compounded each year that there's their raises are implemented. So that was how the same money that would be used for incentive awards was thought about and how it was considered it might be distributed differently. What I mentioned last week, I believe I did. If I didn't, I'll certainly say it now. If incentive awards is that important, it means something's got to give, because we're not getting more money. I mean, if we restore all the incentive awards, for example, that means probably the promotion raises are going to be unchanged. I mean, so that, you know, we got to figure out there are different ways, I think, that employees can be incentivized. And I agree with you that incentives for the faculty are important. And the way we had proposed Article 23 is for the tenured faculty, those incentives would come from higher promotion raises and one-time payments with post-tenure review. Now, if you're saying you've talked to the tenured faculty and incentive awards are, you know, much more interesting to them, that that's provides a greater incentive, tell us that. And, you know, perhaps there's some bargaining that we can do over those features. But I can almost absolutely guarantee you that if we restore all the incentive awards, the promotion raises will be unchanged. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's only so much money to go around. The question is, mm-hmm. how should we spend it?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine. But do get the answers to those questions. And I think that clarifies. And if we can get the budget, that would be really, really helpful.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Okay. I think
that I wish it was a one sheet piece of paper budget that we could. that's not what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's all. Does anybody else have anything to bring up?
No. Just as soon as you send me the link, I'll put it on. I'll put it online so people can see it and refer to it, and then we'll get to work on it right away.
And I'll leave the highlighted part so that you know what.
That's super helpful. Yes, yeah. Please.
Okay.
And Talat, I want to thank you and your team for going through what was a very complicated article. And you obviously went through it very carefully and very thoughtfully. And thank you for doing
it. It was really helpful that Charlie brought me that color-coded sheet.
She did an amazing job. You're correct.
It was amazing because I was absolutely getting headaches with how to where it was going. And then so then we sat down. And, you know, we put everything out and then, you know, every now and then we would look at something and we'd say, oh, no, this wasn't there. No, sure enough, it was there. So, yeah, we tried to keep as much of it because right now we want to get through, you know, as quickly as possible. And so this is what we will present for now, but I'll send you this and then we'll go from there.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. And really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who's here.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see everybody next Wednesday afternoon.
Next Wednesday, we will be here.